The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
I think, Howard, like many around the world, I extend my condolences and my thoughts and prayers for the people of Las Vegas, and in particular those who have been victims and affected by the tragic events of this morning.
Can anybody who's just tuned in or hasn't been following the story bring us up to date with what do we know so far?
Well, what we do know so far is that 50 people have been killed and more than 400 injured when a lone gunman opened fire from his hotel room. I think it was on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Hotel onto people who were enjoying a country music festival, the Harvest Festival. Jason Aldean was on stage when shots rang out, and we do know now, as of about half an hour ago, for sure, that the attacker, 64-year-old Stephen Craig Paddock, was a convert to Islam. ISIS have claimed responsibility, according to their new agency, Ahmak. I know that the Times of Israel broke it earlier, and I was very, very reluctant to confirm it until I saw it across several other news sources, especially in the USA, because I think we have to be very, very careful when there are stories like this, that we are very, very cognizant of the facts. He subsequently committed suicide after opening fire, and the police were looking for his roommate or his companion, who they subsequently have found, and I think she will be in for some very, very stringent questioning. And I've just heard a press conference with U.S. President Donald Trump, who extended his condolences to all the victims and their families, and who commended first responders, law enforcement, on their quick action, and also has said that he will be flying to Las Vegas tomorrow morning to meet with first responders, law enforcement, and the families of those who have lost their loved ones.
Rolene, I think it was Reuters are reporting that a top U.S. official has rejected the ISIS claim. You said before that he's was converted recently to Islam. I mean, that's what ISIS have said. Do we have any verification of that aside from the ISIS statement?
Well, I think I have a tendency to be like a little circumspect until we know many, many, many more details, because his profile does not fit the typical profile of somebody who can be radicalized. You know, he's not of the age. He is not known to have had any kind of ideological or political leanings. He was 64 years old. He was a licensed pilot and hunting enthusiast. He had no criminal record. He owned a home in a nearby retirement community. He worked as an internal auditor at Lockheed Martin for some time, and managed an apartment building in Mesquite, Texas. I think one thing will come up for investigation for sure is what exactly was his role at Lockheed Martin. Does that have anything to do with it? How easy, you know, if he is an ISIS operative, how easy was it for them to radicalize him? So, you know, I can understand the reluctance of some to go with the story. I mean, this is what we have from several news sources who have followed on with the statement from ISIS. It could also be ISIS trying to claim responsibility for an attack they haven't executed. Mm-hmm. However, it does follow the same modus operandi as the one in Manchester, the same setup, a very, very soft target in the form of concert goers, the exact same modus operandi, except in that case it was a suicide bomber. Police have interviewed the brother of the shooter. His name is Eric Paddock. He says the family are absolutely dumbfounded. They don't understand. He has had no political affiliation, no religious affiliation, and no indication that he could do something like this. So while there have been claims, and it is spreading across news sites, that it was ISIS, I am in two minds, and that's just my personal opinion.
I have to tell you, my gut is saying exactly that, and of course I've got no basis on which to say it, but until we find, or I think until there's some form of nexus, that whether they find it in his house, on his social media feeds, etc., I think we have to be very circumspect with allowing ISIS to claim responsibility, especially as they weaken in certain areas in the Middle East. Their relevance is dwindling, their power base is diminishing. What better way to reestablish themselves than to claim the death of 50 Americans and the wounding 200 more?
Absolutely. It's just a tremendous, tremendous tragedy on so many levels. He was found, because he did commit suicide after the attack, he was found with more than 10 rifles in his possession in his hotel room. And I think there will be a lot of questions and lot of soul searching for law enforcement and for security at the hotel. How was he able to get an arsenal, a veritable arsenal?
How do you walk into a hotel with 10
into
guns?
Into the hotel.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. That's completely absurd. How do you walk into a hotel room with 10 guns? It does boggle the mind. Of course, as predicted, the minute the news broke, those that support stricter gun control took to Twitter. Twitter went completely mad and made this about gun control. Others blamed Trump, because it must be his fault. And even when he tweeted out his condolences, they pulled apart the wording that he used. Why is it that we are so insecure that we have to immediately retreat into our well-bunkered positions and not wait for the real facts to unfold? Why is it that we've got to use it to gain political ground rather than just taking a moment to think about the 50 people that have been killed for absolutely no reason, 200 people and all of their families? And I keep thinking, God forbid you have family, or one of us have family that is at a concert. They're going to a country western concert. Okay, I can't comment about the taste of that, but either way, your family member or friend goes to a concert. It is absolutely absurd that instead of focusing on the pain and the death and the tragedy of it, all anybody's doing, or what so many people are doing, is just retreating into political positioning.
Well, this is it exactly. I think it's knee-jerk reaction, and in today's time where everybody's got access to social media, everybody thinks they are an armchair general or citizen journalist. Unfortunately, that's what social media has opened up, and I think rationale has flown completely out the window. I mean, I watched President Trump's press conference, which I thought was extremely sensitive. It was extremely unifying and actually quite comforting. He spoke very, very well. He spoke very, very warmly. I know they picked apart the fact that he said he extends his warm condolences. You know what? It's actually time, people, to grow up. I think the knee-jerk reaction from people is to attack President Trump or attack anybody that they don't like. I mean, you and I are all too familiar what it's like to have to deal with social media trolls, with some of the writing that we do.
Absolutely. Unsigned is saying there are about 13 million people that are thinking to themselves, maybe the world will have some empathy with what we put up with in Israel for years. I get that. I do hear that. I always worry about that as well, because that also, you don't want to come across as I told you so, now it's your turn. I do think we need to empathize and appreciate, and just send our good wishes and our prayers, and hopefully the dots will be joined. Mervyn saying the leftists are at him again, and someone unsigned saying to sneak it into the hotel room, all you have to do is put it into a suitcase. He gives it to one of the porters, who will wonder why the bags are so heavy, but will be none the wiser. I guess that's true. It is a hotel hotel, you are seeing bags going in and out, and he might have carried his own bag. I guess you can do that. It's just quite unbelievable that. In fact, I was wondering how they shot him. I didn't realize he had killed himself initially, and I thought it's quite a story when you've got one bloke leaning out a window and shooting people in the middle of the night. How are you even going to find out where he is? It's going to take ages. But the fact that he turned it or the gun on himself, of course, is a completely cowardice act. But that's why eventually it stopped. I mean, he could have actually done
Can I just take out my soapbox a minute?
Sure, sure. Can I help you on, or are you fine?
You can help me on. I'm not wearing the heels at the moment. Can we move away from this politics of blame? It's the leftists, and maybe that at last they'll understand how we feel. Yeah, I don't think anybody in the midst of a tremendous tragedy like this is actually thinking about how other people feel around the world during a terror attack. They're looking to get through this one moment at a time. I think that, and I'm with you on that, Howard, that when we say things like, well, now they need to know how we feel in Israel, it kind of takes away our ability to be empathetic. And I think we always need to be cognizant of that. And please, people, you know I love you. You know Roro's got the love for you. But can we move away from it's the left, it's the libtards, it's the
right.
snowflakes.
Although in fairness
can
to,
we move away from that language?
Right. But in fairness to Mervyn, he was commenting on my comments about the fact that Trump has been criticized for no matter what he's done. So I think that's why. But it's just absurd, and that's exactly my point that you're making, as I've been making it throughout the show, is can we just rather focus on the fact that this is a tragedy, and of course Las Vegas is very, very far away. Not much we can do from here, but just rather focus on that, and let's wait for the information to come out before we decide that it very comfortably fits into the narrative that we've defined for ourselves.
Yeah, because we are all too often victims. I think we need to really, really extend our empathy and sympathy, because we know all too well what it is like to have to endure tragedy like this.
Absolutely. And somebody unsigned is telling me about atonement on Yom Kippur. I'm not sure what the relevance to this. If you can explain that, I would appreciate it. Moving on to other subjects, Palestinian authorities have made a historical visit to Gaza. Is this the wind of change, Rolene?
Again, I'm still very, very, very cautious when it comes to reporting this. We do know that Prime Minister Rami Hamdallah and several other government officials traveled to Gaza today in a bid to kind of quell the internecine fighting between Hamas and the Palestinian Authority. They will be meeting with Hamas officials as well as a cabinet meeting in Gaza City tomorrow. And we do have a quote from Hamdallah, who has said that we are determined to undertake our role in supporting the reconciliation efforts and turning the page of the division so that the homeland becomes reunited. However, when it comes to military issues and the issue around is a Din al-Qassam, which is the Hamas military wing, it is still very, very unclear what's going to happen there. I don't think that Hamas want to relinquish control on their military wing as yet, and also one of the criteria that they have stipulated is absolutely quote unquote no foreign intervention when it comes to any kind of reconciliatory talks.
And of course, that is something we're going to keep an eye on. An Australian columnist says we should apologize to Jews. What's this about?
Well, this is quite fascinating.
What's it about?
Well, Rowan Dean, who's a columnist in the Courier Mail, which is a daily newspaper in Australia, he said that fellow Australians and non-Jews everywhere need to apologize to Jews for lacking in compassion and understanding. And he goes on to say, upon meeting a Jewish person, you should reach out, shake their hand and say, I'm sorry. And he says, this I'm sorry, or this mea culpa, or as you know, we've just said on Yom Kippur, we've all said slichot. He says, we should... non-Jew should apologize for what he sees as a long list of shortcomings. Failure to mourn the Israeli athletes killed at the 1972 Olympic Games, dismissing Palestinian terrorist attacks, blaming the Middle East, peace solely on Israel, ignoring BDS, refusing to see the connection between radical Islamic terrorism against Israel and its attacks on the rest of the world. And he goes on and on and on. And he even goes on to say that the other day, Norway's Minister for Migration and Integration, Sylvie Listhaug, said that they in Norway are now experiencing the fear that Israelis have had for decades, and now many people understand the situation you live in. We see what is happening in Sweden, in Britain, and in France, and that Europeans need to understand the situation better in Israel. And he goes on again to talk about the incredible speech, and if you haven't seen it, get yourself onto YouTube now and look at the speech to the UN Human Rights Council by Mossab Hassan Youssef, former Hamas member. You may know him as the son of Hamas, and he excoriated the Palestinian Authority. And Dean says, you know, you've got to go and watch this. He said the Palestinian delegation sat in stunned, furious silence around the massive auditorium. You could have heard a pin drop. He says the truth can have that impact. So, you know, wow, I certainly didn't see this coming, but, you know, I'm really thankful to Ro and Dean for quite an insightful op-ed.
Absolutely, and unfortunately there we're going to have to leave it. Raleen, if I can ask you to keep us informed during the rest of the show, as I know that you will do, if you hear any more information about Las Vegas, if you could pass that on to us, it would be greatly appreciated. Otherwise, we'll pick this up tomorrow afternoon, same time, same place, maybe, please God, with a little bit of better news.
Absolutely, amen to that.
That's Raleen Marks with the Israel Report, and of course...